1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, talking about the end times. End times meaning we're getting near the coming of Christ. Verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, the Antichrist and the false prophet aren't so much, they are going to pretend to be Christianity. They're going to pretend to be Christianity, and they're going to twist and turn the doctrine and try to confuse. If you want to, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous or dangerous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." So he's describing what men are going to be like during the end times, during the time right before Christ returns at the rapture. And then verse 5 is a key verse. It says, "These men that have all these bad qualities will have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." That during our lifetime, as we approach the end times of Christ, the end times when Christ is going to return, we don't know when he's going to return. It could be our lifetime. It might be 50 years from now. It might be 100 years from now. But during the end times, these evil men are going to raise up. And they are going to have a form of godliness. They're going to pretend to be Christian. They're going to pretend to have Christ. But there's going to be false teachers and false prophets, and they are going to deceive. They're going to be lovers of themselves, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, deceivers, okay? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead," quick means alive, "at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And then watch verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Now here's the danger that may be taking place in America right now. It seems that fewer and fewer people are wanting to hear the truth. Churches all over America, they're canceling Sunday school and church, and they put it all in 1 hour. They're canceling Sunday night services. They're canceling Wednesday night services. Churches are teaching less and less Bible because there's a fear that people don't want to hear doctrine. People want to be entertained. People want to praise and worship, but they don't want to hear doctrine. They don't want to hear Bible teaching. And that's what this verse says. It says they will not endure sound doctrine. So that's another reason why a lot of people think we are nearing the end, because it seems to be around the world and in our country that fewer and fewer people are wanting to hear the real truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. "Little children," he's talking to believers, "little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists," many against Christ, "whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us." So antichrist, the word, actual word, is only used in by John. In Jude verse 4, it says, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to turn to Revelation 17. Revelation 17, I'm going to read the first six verses and try to explain it as I go. This is the chapter of the prediction of the great whore, the religious whore that imitates the true church. Verse 1, chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, upon many nations, that setteth its worldwide. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Spiritual adultery is when you take true Christianity and you abandon true Christianity and you begin to worship something that is false. Spiritual adultery, you're going to worship another God other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. This woman, this false church, is going to ride upon the government of the Antichrist, the seven heads and the ten horns. So the false church will ride under the power of the false government. The false church will be a worldwide state church. You know, in America, we're so blessed. The people that came to America came here for religious freedom. We've forgotten our history. Millions were slaughtered in Europe for the simple reason of coming to Christ as their personal Savior. They were slaughtered. The Spanish Inquisition, Bloody Mary, and on and on and on. Receiving Christ, slaughtered. Now watch, verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now there's one thing the Bible does, and that is the Bible just tells it the way it is. He says that this false state church that's going to ride on the back of the Antichrist and the world government is full of abominations, full of filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother of all the false religions, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, Mystery Babylon. If you go back to when they tried to build the Tower of Babel, it was headed up by Nimrod, and his wife was Semiramis. Semiramis had a baby boy named Tammuz, and she claimed that it was a miracle birth, just like we would say the virgin birth of Christ. She claimed that Tammuz, her son, was a miracle birth. She claimed to be the queen of heaven. When you read about Baal in the Old Testament and you read about Tammuz, it's the same thing. You can trace Semiramis and Tammuz all over the world under different names and different religions. Same thing. Years ago, they even uncovered in Mexico something that they thought was about 200 years before Christ, and it was archaeology, that was a woman with a little baby. Semiramis claimed to be the queen of heaven. She claimed that part of your salvation was by sprinkling water on you. She claimed that her son was killed by a wild boar, and then 40 days later he rose from the dead, and that ultimately it was through her and her son that there was salvation. That is Babylonian religion. Now, here's what happened. You have the Apostle Paul comes up out of Palestine, out of Israel, and he's spreading the gospel. Ephesus, Pergamos, Thyatira, one place after another. And the gospel comes to Rome. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of people get saved. But there comes a time when Mystery Babylon, Babylonian religion, gets mixed in with Christianity. If you compare Babylonian religion with Christianity, there's many similarities. The Queen of Heaven, and we talk about the Virgin Mary. Tammuz, miraculously born, and then gored to death, and then raising from the dead, and Jesus Christ. Satan, before Christ is ever born, Satan tries to come with a substitute, with a false religion, with a false Savior, before Christ is ever even born. Some of the things that you have in the Church of Rome today, the sprinkling of the water on people, is not from Christianity at all. You can't find anything about it in the Bible, but it comes from Babylon religion. Mary being the Queen of Heaven. In Luke, Mary herself says, "My Lord and my Savior." Mary calls Jesus Christ her Savior. Mary never gives any indication at all that she's the Queen of Heaven, that she's any part of getting to heaven. Religions, a lot of religions do this. A lot of denominations do this. They have priests instead of pastors. But if you go into the Bible, you don't find that at all. You don't find where the pastors or the preachers are ever called priests. But in Babylonian religion, that's exactly what you have. And it filtered into many Christian denominations. Babies. Mystery Babylon. Babylonian religion says that you can take a baby and put the baby in church and make it a Christian. But in the Bible, there's no evidence at all of babies being saved. In the Bible, there's no evidence at all of any baby being baptized. The Bible, and everybody in the Bible baptized, is baptized by immersion. They're laid down in the water, brought back up. That's what the word baptism means. It means to immerse, to submerge. But coming out of Babylon, you had sprinkling of water. You had Semiramis, the Queen of Heaven. You have priests. You have babies being put into the church. You have babies being sprinkled. And also Babylon was famous for their tremendous, beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous buildings. But that's what a church was. A church is some magnificent building or edifice that has all the gold and all the different things. And it's beautiful.